That's to take the slave out of the marketplace and to never be sold again. In other words, you have been completely redeemed, completely purchased. You have been completely set free, whether you believe it or not. It is a divine fact from heaven. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. We hope your day is going well, and it's always a blessing to have you tuning in. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Pastor has titled today's message, The Riches of His Grace. Now, Pastor Bill.
Good morning, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Actually, this incredible six chapters has been called by W.O. Carver. He called it the greatest piece of writing in all history. I believe that it is. Every book moves my heart. Amen? And every book of the Bible should move you as well. Amen? Okay. But there's something special about Ephesians. Written from prison by Paul in Rome, whether it was under house arrest or in the cell, we don't know for sure. But that's needless here and there. We just know it's a prison epistle. And listen carefully now. We know that the first three chapters, they're so vital that you get this into your spirit and into your heart. The first three chapters are doctrinal. They tell us your calling, your position that you have by God's incredible grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, because now we are in Him. Amen? But when we get to chapter 4, we start walking out the wealth of our riches that you find in this great epistle. And it tells us that Paul writes in 4:1 of Ephesians, he says, Brethren, he says, I beseech you, therefore, that you walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy. Now that you know who you are in Christ Jesus, the word worthy, as we'll find when we get to chapter 4, is a picture in the Greek of a set of scales and a balancing act, if you will. So on this side, it would be doctrine and application. To walk worthy, you must be equal in doctrine and equal in application. So as we study this out, this first great chapter, that is a chapter that almost, I believe, should be memorized in your heart, meditated upon daily. When we saw last week the work of the Father or the selection of the Father in those verses 4-6. And you know, we already know He's chosen us. Amen? Okay. Now we're going to go to the selection or the sacrifice of the Son. Jesus paid for the church. God planned the church. Jesus paid for the church through redemption. Amen? And then when we get to verse 13, we'll talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, what He has done in the life of the believer, and how He is divine helper of the church. Remember this. The Bible teaches us, God said, He said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, past fact, present reality, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are blessed. If you are a Christian, you are the most blessed person on this planet. Every spiritual blessing, amen, belongs to you. May I say, as we go through these beautiful verses this morning, loved one, listen, embrace them. Know who you are in Christ. Understand, let us really understand the riches of God's grace this morning. And may we just be, man, I mean, we know we're chosen. We know we're adopted. We know that we're blessed. We know that we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And we know not only that we have been accepted in the beloved, amen? But now as we look at the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior to redeem us, I want you to bear witness with the incredible grace of God and claim that for yourself because you can. It belongs to you. So let's begin this morning with the riches of God's grace beginning in verse 7. It says, In Him, of course, that's Jesus our Lord. In Him we have what? We have redemption. How? Through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, in Him, the beloved, the one that God loves, the one that God has accepted, a beautiful name for Jesus, we have now, because we're in him, not only have we been accepted, but now in him we have redemption. We have been purchased. The word redemption has several meanings. It means to purchase that which is lost, to set free what has been lost by the payment of a ransom. That's what the word redeems. Now listen, we are not going to be redeemed. We have already been redeemed. Amen? But that's so vital that we get that. It is a past fact again. It is a present reality, and it can never change. Never. If you've been redeemed, you are not going to be unredeemed, if that is even a word, okay? No, never, loved one. There are three Greek words in the New Testament for redemption. One is found here in verse 7. That means to be purchased by, to set free by a ransom. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:20, where it says, you have been bought at a price. The word bought there means that literally to redeem a slave, to take them out of or out of the marketplace. And then the next one is found in Galatians 3, 13? You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's to take the slave out of the marketplace and to never be sold again and can't be sold again. In other words, you have been completely redeemed, completely purchased. You have been completely set free, whether you believe it or not. It is a divine fact from heaven. Amen? You have been bought, and you have been bought at a price. That's exactly what that means. The Bible tells us in Matthew 20, 28, what did Jesus say? He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to give his life. To give his life a ransom for many. That's for you and me. So the price of our redemption, believer, listen, is the blood of God. You ever think of it that way? It's the blood of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In him, it says, we have redemption through his blood. Every time you read that, you should pause. And matter of fact, it ought to be read on our knees. You should pause and deeply reflect that verse, loved one. Because since we have been accepted in the beloved, and only because of that, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. Amen? He redeemed us from a life of slavery, from a life of bondage. He gave his life as a ransom. I hear it all the time sometimes from people, unbelievers. How is it, man, that you're trying to tell me that just one person that was born 2,000 years ago, one man, one life, is a substitute for every human being that has ever lived? That's exactly right. Listen, we have been redeemed. We're not going to be redeemed. We have been redeemed by God's grace right now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, listen carefully, it says, for you know the grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That you, through Jesus's poverty, might become rich. What does that mean? It means that Jesus left the throne room. He left the splendor of heaven for the squalor on this filthy, filthy planet that we live on. And Jesus, the one who was rich, who created everything, who owns everything, amen, who has all power, has all authority in heaven and earth, what did he do? He became poor. That word literally means he made himself nothing. It means so poor. When Jesus made himself poor, it means he had absolutely nothing left to give. Why? That through his poverty, when he came to this planet to make you, loved one, rich, that I'm not talking about $1 million right now. We are rich. We're the richest people on this planet. Amen? Oh, listen, the Son of God had to become the Son of Man. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to be despised and hated and a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had to come to this earth and live a perfect, sinless life and never sin, because there's no sin in him, in order to redeem you. I think the church today thinks too lightly of their sin, the cost of sin. It was a violent death that the Lord endured for you and for me. He suffered the horror of being separated from God the Father on the cross when the darkness came, remember? And not only that, he suffered the punishment. He was delivered into the hands of sinful men, and you know what they did to him, but he did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for the world and the whole world. Every sin that has ever been sinned, every sin that has ever been committed from every person from the time of Adam to the end of time, every sin, past, present, future, was laid upon our Savior. That's unbelievable. The spotless, sinless, pure Son of the living God experienced the feeling of sin for the very first time ever. He felt every sin, every adultery, every fornication, every lie. He bore the sin of the world. Why? To redeem us. That's the price that Jesus paid. Now, that's why I say when we come to verse 7, sometimes we should pause and we should ponder and we should celebrate all that Jesus Christ did for us through the great love of God. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not bought, you were not purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were redeemed, you were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without wrinkle. Amen? Man, that's what Jesus did for us. Listen, he redeemed us, it says there, from a vain life. You know what that really means? When you were purchased, the life before you were living, you might have thought it was a great life, I don't know, but it was an empty life. Any life apart from Christ is an empty, vain, striving, searching life, living only for self, because they can live for no other. But in Christ, oh man, he redeemed us from a life of emptiness. We now have, through redemption, we really have life. And we have that kind of life more abundantly. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us in Acts 20:28, when Paul was with the elders there, he was saying goodbye. And he was weeping, remember, and crying. And he challenged them and said, you better guard the church, man, that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. Because remember, people, savage wolves are going to come in. And he said, you guard the church that God purchased with his own blood. See, the church doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. I did not purchase the church. America did not purchase the church. Jesus purchased the church, and the buyer has the right to the possession he purchased. Does that make sense? We are his. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And listen, with such a price paid for the church, the local and the global church, the corporate church, I think it breaks the heart of God when he sees the ones he purchased abuse one another, lie one to another. We should never hurt one another. Loved one, we need a higher view, not a lower view of who we are in Christ Jesus. Boy, the incredible riches of God's grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, it says, not by the blood of bull and goats. He didn't enter heaven that way. Blood of the bull and goats, sacrifice after sacrifice, will never take away sin. But it says, with his own blood. Jesus, when he ascended with his own blood, he entered into heaven for us, obtaining what? Eternal redemption. Loved one, listen to me. You have been, by the life of Jesus Christ, by the ransom of Jesus Christ, you have been eternally, that word is forever and ever and ever and ever, eternally redeemed, bought, purchased, and you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Do you understand the incredible riches of his grace? It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. And look at this next one. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So redemption means that Jesus not only paid a ransom, that he not only entered heaven for us and obtained that eternal redemption, but it also means, redemption means that our sins are really forgiven. They're totally forgiven, loved one. Listen, the Bible tells us in Titus 2:14, Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he, not you, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify or cleanse for himself his own special people. Revelation 1:5, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, the riches of his grace. Now listen, forgiveness means this to the believer. It means, that word means, the complete removal of your all of your sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. We do sin. We don't want to, but when we do, we run to the throne of grace and we call out to the Lord who is faithful, and the blood of Jesus then cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? I'm talking about, God's talking about your position right now in Christ, seated in the heavenlies. You're seated with him. Forgiveness means that you have been completely forgiven, the removal of sin. It means, forgiveness means that sin has been carried away. It means that sin has been sent away. If you studied out, remember the old covenant, you remember when the high priest Aaron, when he went into once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high holy day, the only day that the children of Israel fasted, by the way, and he would go in and he would make sacrifice for himself, and he would take the blood, sprinkle it all over the altar and so forth, and he would have two goats. Remember that? One goat was killed. That was the blood that was shed. But one goat was not. He remained alive. And what did he do? Aaron would walk over to that one goat, and he would lay his hands upon the goat and confess the sins, iniquities, and transgressions of Israel. He would give it to a just man, and that man would take that goat. He would walk out, and the children of Israel who were outside on the Day of Atonement, they would see that man with that goat that Aaron had laid his hands on, confessing all the sins, and he would take him to an uninhabited or into the wilderness, and they would never see that goat again. All the sins of Israel were atoned for. They were sent as far as the east is from the west. Are you with me? Do you see what happened? Listen, loved one. Man, I look at all of that and all that God has done. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But listen, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that mean when we have complete removal of our sin in the eyes of the living God? It means right now, if we were transported to heaven, there means when we attended, when we stood before the throne of grace, it means there is not one written accusation of sin against you, the believer. That's your position in Christ. Are you with me? Now listen, they're gone. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions. That means to step over the line that God said, don't do it, and you did it anyway. He says, they are as far as the east is from the west. You've heard me quote that a million times, and you know what it means. You cannot calculate the distance, can you? No. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now, right this minute and forever, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. No judgment. Oh yes, the Bema seat, but that's not a place to be judged for our sins. That's to be judged for what we didn't do and what we did do. Did we use the gifts that God gave us? Were we stewards over what God gave us? But our sins have been paid for. Jesus said in John 19:30, it is finished. It is completely finished, loved one. Thank God for that. Jesus, God laid upon Jesus our sin, and then he suffered the punishment of our sin. All for us. You better listen today. Listen to this word. The church is weak because they don't believe God's truth. They're weak. God doesn't love me. Stop it. God won't forgive me. That's from hell. That's the devil. Listen, you must, starting in 2020, right even this moment, you must, if you're not, you must start seeing yourself as God Almighty, our Father, sees you. He sees you in Christ. Your forgiveness of sin, believe it or not, it doesn't depend upon you. It depended upon Jesus, who died for the sins of the world. Oh, the incredible riches of His grace, loved one. Listen, it would be wise for all of us to give the blood of Jesus Christ the same worth that God the Father gives it as well. Jesus redeemed you. He redeemed me. How far away are our sins? Listen to me. Romans 4:7. Blessed, that's a great word. Oh, how to be envied, or how fortunate, or oh, how happy. Blessed, Paul writes in Romans 4:7, are those whose lawless deeds, those are transgressions, lawless deeds are forgiven. There's that word. That word means blessed is the man whose lawless deeds or sins have been carried away. Carried away. They are in this, as Micah says, in the sea of eternal forgetfulness, loved one. He says, and whose sins are covered. The word covered doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to put something over, a little blood. No, no. They're canceled. They're canceled. That's what that word means. Not only that, blessed is the man to whom the Lord, listen carefully, shall not impute sin. What does that mean, never impute sin to? It means never take our sin and put it into our account. He has taken it out of our account. Amen? That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:25. I, God says, even I blot out your transgressions. And here's why. For my sake. You didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's all by divine grace. That's all. He says, I blot them out. He says, and I will not remember your sins. You remember. I remember. The devil remembers. God doesn't. You need to see yourself as God sees you. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now listen carefully. According to the riches of His grace. I am unfit teach this. Unfit. I do not have the intellect, the spiritual dynamic to say what that means. That is deeper than I know how to teach. It is deeper than I know how to ponder. But when I look at that, it says all of this has been done, redemption, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The riches, not out of the riches of His grace. See, let's say, for example, that I was Warren Buffett, okay? Does Warren Buffett have any money? He ain't hurting. I mean, what is he, a zillionaire? But if he came to church today and dropped in $10, he would be giving out of his riches. But he was not giving his riches. Do you understand? Jesus, or the Lord God, He didn't just give us a little bit. He gave us everything. Do you understand? When it says, according to His riches of His grace, that, loved one, listen, that is incredible. Look in your Bible. Look at verse 6 with me of chapter 1. I want you to look at this. Ephesians 1:6. Watch this. To the praise of the glory of His what? There's that word. The glory of His grace. Not just grace. The glory of His grace. Look at verse 7. Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiving of sins. Here it is again, according to the, not just grace, riches of His grace. Verse 8. Now, according to the riches of His grace, what happens? Watch. Which He made to what? Overflow. A lavish overflow. That word means superabound toward us who believe. My Lord. Look at verse 19 of chapter 1. What is the exceeding greatness, not just greatness, exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich, what is God rich in? His mercy, and because of His, not just His love, His great love. Look at Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:8, look at it. To me, Paul says, to him less than all, the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but no worries. Pastor will conclude this message tomorrow, and we hope to see you again. Thank you so much for listening with us, and have a wonderful day.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.